Prayer Fellowship is a podcast inspired by the Puritan practice of godly conference, or spiritual conversations among believers. These spiritual conversations will offer practical spiritual help for Christian living. I'm Jeremy Lee, and with me as always is my friend and co-host, Matthew McLaughlin.
Hey, Jeremy.
Hey. So today we're continuing our series on our core values, our guiding principles. We haven't decided on an exact title.
Right.
Matthew called him one thing and I called him another. That's the problem. So get straight, Matthew.
Yeah, I'll do my best.
Anyways, so today we're continuing that series. We're talking about the last one. We've talked about the means of grace and confessionalism and how these are going to shape and guide what we talk about in the future, and they really shape and guide our lives. Today we want to talk about fellowship. Fellowship obviously is important because, I mean, our name is Ordinary Fellowship. So that should be a no-brainer that fellowship is going to be important to us because that's our name. But so Ordinary Fellowship, Matthew and I basically just sit around and talk with microphones between us. It's a little more complicated. It's not the same as we would do after church. We have our podcast a little better thought about than our conversations after church, but that's what we're doing here. We fellowship together around the Word and around the confessions, and especially around Christ. These conversations that we're having should be normal conversations that believers are having. These are things that we share back and forth. We talk about our spiritual lives. We talk about the Word. We talk about theology and things like that. And it's part of our daily walk. That's why it's Ordinary Fellowship. It's not something unusual that we get to do only on occasions. So let's talk about fellowship, Matthew.
All right, let's talk about fellowship. So when most people, especially in Baptist circles, hear fellowship, their minds normally go to what? A fellowship hall. Or the phrase, we're going to have food, fun, and fellowship. I think that is true, but it gives the wrong perception of what fellowship actually is. It's good that how you described it, and we'll talk about it more. Fellowship is not just spending time talking about everything but Jesus.
Although, you know, because of COVID, we didn't have any of our church picnics this year.
And this is true.
I was thinking about that as I was preparing for this, and I thought, you know, I did miss some of the food, but I also missed that we weren't going around talking with each other and all that.
Right. And that's how this time should feel, that we're missing out on fellowship, especially when we can't be together. But one of the things for us to begin to understand fellowship is, okay, so where does fellowship show up in the Bible? Well, the first place that I want to look at that it shows up is in Acts 2. It says in Acts 2, this famous passage, Acts 2, 42 to following, the verses say this, "And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers." We're to stop right there. I always find it interesting. You look at the list of what they devoted themselves to, and you get these things that makes perfect sense. The apostles' teaching or doctrine, the Word, and they devoted themselves to prayer, and then there's this little one in the middle, to the fellowship. The question that I spent time thinking through is, so what is the fellowship? So fellowship, I found an article by Jerry Bridges, and it makes sense. He breaks it down into four parts that I want to kind of let us talk through today. So fellowship breaks down into four ships. The first ship is relationship, then it's partnership, it's also companionship, and finally it's stewardship. When we talk about the fact that fellowship is relationship, what do we mean? What we mean is that fellowship is relationship, but not, first off, it's not relationship with each other. It's relationship with God. It says in 1 John 1, verse 3, that which we have seen and heard we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us, and indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Fellowship starts off by being a relationship between us and God. I think when we first think about that, that's not the thought that comes to our mind. We think fellowship is just between believers.
Right.
But ultimately, the fellowship between believers is because we have fellowship with God.
Right. And that fellowship is primary, and as a result of that fellowship,
right,
we have fellowship.
Right, and I think that's the point we have to keep our minds on, is that ultimately our fellowship with each other is because we have fellowship with God. We have a relationship with God because of what Christ accomplished on the cross. So we have this positive-looking relationship, that we have relationship with God, but it also implies that we have a negative relationship. That is, we reject the world and idols and everything that's wrong because it doesn't create the relationship that we've been called into with God. And so that we have to understand both parts of this concept of relationship. One of the other things for us to think through when it comes to relationship is, okay, so what is this relationship made up of? What do we mean by relationship?
I don't know if this will dovetail into it, but I think one of the things that's important to say about this is that that passage that you just read shows that our relationship with one another is Christ-centered.
Correct.
It's not because we belong to the same political team or that we are all white middle-class people. It's not because we're Americans. And it's not because we're football fans or we have the same vocation or we all have big families or whatever that may be. The big thing that unites us together is Christ. And so our fellowship is centered around Him. There's going to be lots of differences among us in many ways, but the one thing that we share in common is Christ, right, being Lord and Savior.
And that word that you used is the important word for us to remember. Literally, the idea behind the word fellowship is common.
Right.
And so it's what Jeremy just explained. So it's not about the activities that we do as much as it's about the relationship that we have. Ultimately, the relationship we have with Christ, and then because of our relationship with Christ, we have relationship with each other, because the others that we come into contact with in our community of believers have relationship with Christ. And so that's how we understand what relationship is, but it's not just relationship. It's also partnership. And this is when things begin to turn and mold a little bit differently than we are thinking. So the idea of partnership literally is the idea of a business partnership. And so when we talk about a business partnership, we don't think about that when we say fellowship at church. And yet we are bonded together in the sense that fellowship means that we have the same objective, we have the same goal, that we're united, not just because we're united in relationship to Christ, we're also committed to the same purpose, the same goal. Well, what's the goal? Well, there's been lots of discussion, but we'll go with the simple answer. The goal is to glorify God in everything we do and everything we say. And that we live that out. A simple way that I like to describe fellowship is we can simplify it down to this. Fellowship is doing life together. That's what fellowship is. It's not activity, it's relationship, it's partnership. That we're committed to each other. If you got married and then you did your thing and your wife did her thing and you never talked to each other, that really wouldn't work too well.
Yeah. And I think one of the things that you're saying is that You're saying it's not just activities we do,
right,
but it's not less than activities.
No, it's not less than activities.
Yeah.
But
there is involvement, because even
right,
the marriage analogy
right,
you're talking about, There's talking going on.
Right. Right. There's definitely activity, but that activity comes out of the relationship and the partnership, not solely the activity. It's not that, well, I can't think of anything better to do, so I guess I'll do something with you. But it's because we're bonded together, because we're united with the same relationship, with the same goal, because we're partners trying to accomplish the same mission, the same task. And the other thing for us to think through when it comes to partnership is that means we're equal partners. We bring everything to the table and lay it on the table. It's not like, it's not an unbalanced relationship where someone brings all the good stuff and somebody brings all the bad stuff. And so I just take, there's a group of people we take from and there's a group of people who always give. That's not what fellowship is. Fellowship is we're all invested all together.
We may have different roles.
Right, right. We have different roles. But the idea is that there are times when I'm going to give and there's times when I'm going to take. Now, if it's simply one-sided, that loses sight of what we've been called to and how we're supposed to approach this general task of glorifying God. Fellowship is relationship because we're connected to Christ. Fellowship is partnership because we have the same objective of glorifying God. Then we come to the third one, which is companionship. And this one is where it looks a little more like what we're used to. Companionship is that idea of we do life together, that we're together as much as we can be. Not together in a sense of just around each other, but there's a mutual purpose. What is the mutual purpose? Well, it goes back to what Jeremy was talking about when he first introduced this idea. The reason why I'm around each other is because I'm seeking to help each other. We're seeking to help each other grow. We're seeking to edify. We're seeking to not simply talk about politics or the weather or sports or anything other than Jesus. It's okay to talk about that, but ultimately the goal of fellowship is that I spend time talking about Jesus and what Jesus is doing in my life and how he's affecting me and how he's bringing change into my life. And that as we talk about that and as we work through Scripture, we talk Scripture with each other because we see the importance that understanding that I'm provided might provide understanding to the other person, and that those things they understand and they've lived through and Jesus has walked through them through difficult times or through struggles, and that they can provide it to me, and that because we're bonded, we can communicate that.
I mentioned this in another context in Sunday school, but there's we have a mutual interdependence.
Right.
Just taking one of the gifts that the Spirit gives the church, our pastor preaches the word. We need the preaching of the word. we need to be exhorted. We need to be rebuked. We need to be approved. We need to be trained in righteousness. And so we need the preaching of the word. All of us do. And so God speaks to us through our pastor as he's preaching the word. And we need that. And he's provided that gift in the office of the pastor and in our particular pastor. And, you know, he's been given that gift of preaching. And so in order to obey God, he's got to use that gift. And so he needs us as well. So we're mutually interdependent and we're growing together. The same could be said of, you know, of reading your Bibles together. Not necessarily that we're in the same room or reading it out loud, but we like study together, study the same passage and then come together to discuss it. And through our discussions, we'll come to a better understanding of what the Word teaches. So we need each other for those reasons and many more. I mean, you mentioned suffering and struggles. We really need each other then. And that's part of what fellowship is. It's not just talking after church or hanging out at the church picnic. It's sharing your life together. The Bible talks about weeping with those who weep and rejoicing with those who rejoicing. To me, that really is the epitome of how we share life together.
Right. And the last part of fellowship is this idea of stewardship, which we'll talk about in a second. The other thing that I wanted to make sure I mention, so you have what we talked about, the sharing of Scripture and that idea. There's a sense in which that's one part of companionship, but there's another part of companionship which we've kind of talked about, but let's talk about a little bit more. Every time we gather together, every time we come to church, we're engaging in fellowship because we're being bonded together, we're understanding, we're meeting, whether it's one-on-one, whether it's in a small group, whatever it might be, when it's Jeremy and I sit and talk, all of that is fellowship because we gather together as partners to help each other with their burdens, to celebrate, as he said, we celebrate the victories. When we participate in the Lord's Supper, that's fellowship, because it's simply us living out that partnership that we have because of the relationship that we have, which then brings us to the last part, which is stewardship, which is simply that I share what I have with those around me. And I share it specifically with the community of believers that I'm a part of. That there's a phrase at the end of Acts 2 where it talks about that they had everything in common. Now, this is not us saying, let's go be communists or let's go be socialists. It's not that. But what it is that I don't see my stuff as my stuff. I see my stuff as that which God has given me to take care of me, but also to take care of those who I'm in relationship, in fellowship with, because ultimately I'm as connected to them as I am to myself, which is kind of different than how we think about things. So that's kind of the technical aspect of understanding fellowship. But I think what I really want to spend time doing with the time we have left is what Jeremy just talked about a little bit. What does that look like practically? What it looks like practically is doing life together. When I talk to the teenagers, I surprise them sometimes because I tell them that fellowship is baking cookies, and ask them how is making cookies a spiritual activity? And they usually look at you like, say what now? When I heard it in school, the illustration of making chocolate chip cookies is one of the most spiritual activities you can do. And he basically explains it like this. When I make cookies, I find someone else and I have them over and we make cookies together. I spend time, we mix stuff together, and we can talk about the fact that we're all mixed together, that the body joins together, each brings its own part. And then you have to shape them, and because otherwise you just get a cookie blob, and who wants to eat a cookie blob? So that we're conformed, we're shaped. And there's all of these spiritual aspects in making cookies. And at the same time, it's the ability for us to talk and just to spend time. And I think one of the things for us to understand that what fellowship is back to our name. It's ordinary fellowship. It's just us living life. And as we live life, speaking spiritual truth to each other, because we are so easily blinded by sin and by the circumstances of life. And it keeps us from truly knowing somebody else and seeing what God is seeking to do when he brings those people into my life. There's a phrase that Paul Tripp uses, is that your walk with God is a community project. And I really think that that is another way for us to understand fellowship. That I'm as responsible for your spiritual life as I am for my own. Because why? Because we have this relationship, and that inside that relationship leads to a partnership that produces companionship and stewardship. And that's what I have to see. So when I see someone struggling, fellowship calls me to help them. to speak truth into their life, to be there, to put myself out, because stewardship is not just stuff. Stewardship is time, it's energy, it's blood, sweat, and tears. And that's what fellowship looks like.
And it's all those things, because that's what life is.
Correct.
So if you're sharing life together, it's going to be a roller coaster. Sometimes there are going to be great times, and other times not so much. And it's walking together, like Pilgrim's Progress, when mm-hmm. Faithful walked with him. They enjoyed fellowship along the road to the celestial city. They enjoyed each other's company. They were walking to the same place and mutually interdependent on each other, building one another up in the Lord. And they ran the race better because they ran it together.
Right, and that's the key idea right there. Nowhere in Scripture do we get the idea that I'm supposed to take my Bible and go live on a mountain by myself. And that's where, in my opinion, where the American value system has hurt us.
And I think one of the places that you see that, you know, so I guess this is a way to say it. Which is more important, your corporate worship when you come together on Sunday morning or your private worship on Monday through Saturday? I don't know that you have to pick which one is more important, per se, but a lot of times I think people get the idea that the most important thing is your private devotion, and that is the be-all and end-all, and the corporate worship is like the syrup on top of the pancake,
or right.
The sweetener that's added to it. But I think it's really the reverse,
mm-hmm.
that it's the worship service itself that is the thing, and the private worship flows out of that, because that makes the fellowship central rather than individual persons meeting with God. But though both are important, I think we need to have, I don't think we have this idea of community, because Americans are individuals.
Right.
We believe in rugged individualism.
Yes.
But as Christians, that's not really the case.
Correct. And yeah, and that's very important. I think to answer your question, my opinion is that corporate worship should influence my private, and my private influences corporate, because as I gather together, I want to be a part of what the body talks about, what God has laid on the pastor's heart to present. And at the same time, I'm waiting for those opportunities to have conversations about what God's shown me. And as he shows me, as I speak about what God's shown me, and you tell me what God showed you, now we're engaging in fellowship. But that doesn't happen if I never show up to the corporate gathering.
And I think that's probably a better way to put it, because I didn't want to make a hierarchy.
Right.
But right. I felt I didn't see another way of doing it. But I think what you're describing sounds like almost like a spiral where
I think they feed off each other. And the fact is, I can't remove either one of them. Because if I never come to the gathering, well, now I'm doing this by myself, and just on a practical note, if I'm always by myself, I never see what's wrong with me, because I'm the biggest sinner I'll ever meet. And so I miss stuff. So I need the body, but if I never spend any time doing the individual study, then I never really learn anything, and I can kind of hide in the back, I never get invested and involved in anything.
You'll be shallow.
Right, I'm shallow. And so, yeah, I think they feed off each other. But I think the other part is the community, that together aspect can't just be that I come to church for the worship service and that's it. And I think one of the things we have to strive for in fellowship is that I'm looking for opportunities outside of the gathering of the saints at a particular moment in time to spend time with each other. And so that's where, you know, doing small groups and having one-on-one and spending time, but back to what we've said, life. If what does life look like? Life is busy, it's up, it's down, and I'm just, there's people around. It's one of the things that, from afar, I so appreciate about Mark Dever. He doesn't go anywhere without taking some guys with him. Why? Because he's just spending time and he's speaking into their lives, and I think it's naturally said they speak into his, and that just that picture, that idea. And what are they doing? They're engaging in fellowship. Why? Well, we can go back to the verse in Proverbs. Iron sharpens iron. I become a better Christian because I spend time with you and you sharpen me and you show me where I'm dull.
So you're just using me to make you better, is that?
And you're just using you to make you better. But you're not. I think that's the idea, because that's what we share, that's what we have together and we have in common, and we need to just strengthen ourselves, and we become anemic and weak when we don't do that. Or as you said, we're shallow, and all those things, none of those things are good.
Right.
And so fellowship is so vitally important. So when we come back to Acts 2, that's why it's in the list with preaching and prayer. You get these three ideas, the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, and prayer. Why? Because fellowship is how I live out this Christian life that God has called me to.
I know our time's getting away, and I wanted to say one more thing. You know, we've talked about preaching and all those kind of things that unite us together, but I recently read a book, not even related to this topic, that was talking about how singing together unites mm-hmm. people together. So, you know, that's a great example of how you could sing by yourself, but it doesn't do the same thing to you as singing all together in one large group.
Right.
I know, you know, when I was going to church before I went to Bible college, people would sing, but it was totally different when I went to Bible college. A chapel filled with all, it was mostly men, but right. The whole chapel's filled with men singing. It was really, it was a lot more people than went to my church, so it was really incredible. It does something to you. And this book, it actually was talking negatively about how singing and chanting together can actually encourage you to do bad things if that's what your group is all about.
Yeah.
The church isn't about bad things. We're trying to build each other up in the faith and evangelize those who don't know Christ. And that just the act of singing together does something psychologically to us that maybe strengthens our spine.
I think so.
And helps us to accomplish the task God has given us to glorify Him by reaching the ends of the earth with the gospel.
Yes. And this is another example of one of the things that I do together. The one last piece that we won't spend much time on, but I just think I need to say it, is what fellowship calls us to then is to be vulnerable and authentic. Actually state, this is where I'm at. So fellowship calls me to say, when life isn't going well, and somebody asks, how was your week? I don't say, oh, it was great, or it was fine. Because we're together, it calls me to say, it's not that good, and can you give me some encouragement, or whatever it might be that I need? And it's because I'm honest, and that then can help the process of me becoming what God has called me to be, because you speak into my life and I can speak into yours, which hopefully we can talk about that more in another episode. But just to put that caveat in, as we finish this part of the conversation about fellowship, we thank you for listening to this episode of Ordinary Fellowship, which is a ministry of Two Rivers Community Church. For more information about Two Rivers, you can find it on their website at www.tworiverscc.org. If you would like to give us comment, you can send them to ordinaryfellowship@gmail.com. or you can find us on Facebook at Ordinary Fellowship. We thank you again for listening to Ordinary Fellowship, where we seek to have spiritual conversations for practical Christian living.